Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The third hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back. Excellent to have you all on Masters opening day. The rain clearing out at Augusta. There are some scattered showers heading towards the area.
I don't know, Rob. There's a lot of orange in those scattered showers.
There
those
is.
Are thunderstorms.
There is. Then it looks like it may, don't may still have a little while longer.
Caddyshack moment out there.
Just a Cinderella boy. We will see. They
having
are currently
the best round of my life.
Currently working on the course as we speak. We may see more rain roll through the area off and on over the next couple of hours. We got the update at 5 a.m. saying that they would not tee off before 9 a.m., which is obvious now that we are less than an hour away. But now, of course, we have to wait for the course preparations to continue to see if there are any more scattered showers in the area. We will find out. Wesley is reporting the latest update is tee times delayed until at least 10:30 a.m. My guess was 11, so that's kind of in line. And again, if there are more showers that pop up in the area, they could push that back as well. We will keep an eye on that for you and get you those updates as they continue while we move forward in the show. Coming up in the next segment of the show, Liam McKinnon has been balling out for the Greenville Triumph as of late. They have had a phenomenal start to the season. A team that was projected to begin the season in eighth in the USL League One finds themselves in sole possession of the top of the table. Liam McKinnon scored a handful of goals already. We will talk to him coming up in the next segment of the show. For those of you tuning in for Rashad Beard, unfortunately, Rashad will not be joining us today. He is under the weather. He's going to try to get himself right and be here for us to talk Panther football tomorrow. But at the end of this hour, Zoe and I will talk Panther football to wrap up this hour. In the next hour of the show at 9:20, we, of course, have Fight Club, an extended version of it today, because we have got a ton to talk about. We haven't even touched yet the fact that there is a UFC card this weekend, UFC 300, and it's a good one. I mean, it is a card that's got, I don't know what, Zoe, probably three or four fights that could theoretically be main event fights on their own card. So we'll talk UFC 300. We will continue our look back at WrestleMania weekend from this past weekend. We will, of course, dive into the implications of what happened last night on AEW Dynamite, all of that coming up today at 9:20 this morning. But let us get back to the discussion we were having on the way out the door there. That is about the ESPN list of, quote, 30 coaches who will define the next decade of college football. Now, they did separate these coaches into categories. The first category, successful head coaches with plenty of tread left on the tires. Here are the coaches they put into that category. Kirby Smart at Georgia, Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, Steve Sarkisian at Texas, Ryan Day at Ohio State, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. Let's go one step further. Here's their honorable mentions. Matt Campbell at Iowa State, Mike Elko at Texas A&M, Jed Fish at Washington, Josh Heupel at Tennessee, Jonathan Smith at Michigan State, and Matt Rhule at Nebraska. Not a Dabo to be seen on that list.
You mean Matt Rhule got in there before Dabo?
Yup.
Oh.
Now, let's try to keep it a buck here, all right? Matt Rhule Matt Rhule has been a heavily successful college football coach.
Last I checked, Dabo Swinney won a couple titles.
I don't disagree. I'm simply saying don't put Matt Rhule, failed head coach of the Carolina Panthers, on the list. Put Matt Rhule, successful head coach at Temple and Baylor, on the list. But you're right, Dabo not on the list. So let's see the other categories. Let's see who else they put on this list. Let's see who else they have mentioned as influential coaches. Most exciting younger head coaches. Dan Lanning at Oregon, Mike Norvell at Florida State, Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame, Elijah Drinkwitz, Mizzou, Lincoln Riley, USC, Sharon Moore, Michigan, and Rhett Lashley, SMU. Their honorable mentions here, Fran Brown, the new head coach at Syracuse, Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, and Jeff Lebby, the new head coach at Mississippi State. They have a category named coaches named Deion Sanders. On that list is Deion Sanders from Colorado, and shockingly, no honorable mentions on that list.
Oh, so that's it. Only one guy made
it
by
himself.
Way to go.
Most exciting younger coaches, Group of Five edition. John Summerall at Tulane, Sean Lewis at San Diego State, Ryan Silverfield at Memphis, Alex Golesh at South Florida, honorable mentions, Bob Chesney, James Madison, G.J. Keene at Texas State, Eric Morgis at North Texas, Scotty Waldron at UTEP.
All right, so a good portion of those, okay, none of those have I ever heard of before.
All Group of Five guys.
You know what none of those guys are? Dabo Swinney.
Rising young assistants, Georgia defensive coordinator Glenn Schumann, Oregon OC Will Steen, Florida State OC Alex Atkins, Penn State OC Andy Kotelnicki, Oklahoma DC Zach Alley, Texas A&M OC Colin Klein, Notre Dame defensive line coach Al Washington, Auburn Tigers receivers coach Marcus Davis. The last category, the next Kalen DeBoers. These are all guys who have made their way up from the lower ranks and are a little up there in age and haven't really gotten their big crack at it yet, but they think will. Paul Simmons at Harding, Jimmy Rogers at South Dakota State, Kurt Fitzpatrick at Cortland, Joe Woodley at Grandview. Not a Dabo Swinney on the list. And I'm going to say respectfully, to the Gamecock faithful, Shane Beamer does not have a spot on this list. Right. Not yet.
Right, nor should he, and I am not trying to be funny here. Why is Dabo Swinney not on this list? Does ESPN believe, like some people, that the dynasty is done? And I realize it's been a couple years since they've been in the national championship picture, but is it really over?
I can't say yes. What I can say is, as we talked with, I had Cole Bryson on the show on Monday morning when Zoe was out. And Cole was talking about the performance or lack thereof out of the starting quarterbacks, the starting and backup quarterback.
You mean mostly Cade?
Mostly Cade. Yeah. During the spring game this weekend where he said, look, if we're keeping it honest here, the quarterbacks were, frankly, not all that impressive during Clemson's spring game. They just did not show up the way that you would have liked them to have shown up. And I think that's probably very fair. I will say that doesn't mean anything is over. That doesn't mean that it's done. That doesn't mean that Clemson's going to be trashed this year. I think what has happened here, frankly, is that people are, justifiably or not, losing faith in Dabo Swinney. And I don't think that doesn't come to any shock of any of us, even the Clemson faithful around here the last couple of years.
There's some of them are still living a few years ago, which I get. I completely get. I am. So with the playoff picture being what it is now with 12 teams, Clemson has a better shot to get back in if they can get back to form and only lose like one game as opposed to a couple games like they've been doing.
So I don't think it comes as a shock that, yes, there are people who are still living in the glory days, of which right now Clemson is not measuring up.
Come on, Wesley. I hope you're being – Wesley on the stream says ESPN doesn't praise Clemson. Shocker. Come on. It was all Dabo all the time on ESPN during the national championship run. Everyone was interviewing him. He was everywhere. They were on campus all the time. Have you forgotten about that? But as they faded, then so did that network's belief in them.
I do want to be
Marty
clear.
Marty Smith practically lived on campus during that time.
I do want to be clear about one thing. Looking up and down this list, there is, at least on the list of names that aren't like G5 guys or rising assistants, there are, off the top of my head, going back and scrolling the list, there are two names from the entire Atlantic Coast Conference on here. Mike Norvell, who I think has to be acknowledged based on what Florida State did last year, and Alex Atkins, who is Mike Norvell's number one, his OC, his next man up. Outside of that, there is not ACC name on the list.
What team did they coach for again?
Both of those coaches at the Florida State University.
How'd they do last year?
They were undefeated Power 5 conference champions and co-national champions with the Michigan Wolverines.
They were not. They could probably. They
very, very similar to the 2017 national champions, the UCF Golden Knights.
All them Florida teams.
I'm telling you. ESPN hates Florida.
Obviously. Is that a Florida accent?
Florida Panhandle for sure.
Okay.
Panhandle for sure.
What you said is just Georgia South, right?
Alabama South. Lower Alabama.
All right.
Yeah, it's okay. Lower Alabama.
No, never been to either, so I'm just going to take your word for it.
I do think that Wesley does have a bit of an argument here. If you go down the conspiracy theory, which I do, that ESPN has a vested interest in not promoting the ACC. And frankly, I absolutely believe that to be true. Because what decision is best for the investment of ESPN? It is not to have ACC folks on this list. Now, you can go, wait a minute, Rob, they got everybody else. I don't disagree. But just about everybody on this, or just about every portion of this list, is primarily made up of either SEC folks, Big Ten folks, or folks that have to be recognized. Luke Fickell, Lane Kiffin. And again, I'm not saying he's not. I'm asking you the question. Is Lane Kiffin really a guy we consider one of the most influential in college football? I mean, I guess you could say he is because he has been the transfer portal king, and that is obviously a big part of the game. But is he really on this list ahead of Dabo Swinney? I don't think.
Let's see. Last year, 9-4. Year before, 11-3. Year before, 10-3. Year before, 10-2. Okay? They're losing games. That's the reason why they're not in this anymore. That's the reason why. I mean, so you can look and say there's been a four-year slip, or there's this thing where Sunshine went to the Sunshine State, and then immediately they didn't win as many games.
Sure. And listen, it is absolutely part of the legacy that There was a decade where Clemson regularly and repeatedly had one of the best 2 to 3 quarterbacks in college football, and now they don't. They missed on DJ Uiagalelei, no matter what he does at Florida State and Oregon State. They missed on him. I'm not fully prepared to say they've missed on
Cade. Or they just didn't know how to coach him. So we'll see.
I'm not fully prepared to say they missed on Cade Klubnik yet, but he did not look good in the spring. And again, when I say good, I'm not talking about he goes up there and tears up the defense. What I'm saying is, you show me growth, you show me development, you show me advancement from last year, and I didn't see that in the spring game. Cole Bryson didn't see that in the spring game. John Blau didn't see that in the spring game. And if I didn't see it, it is more likely that they have missed or failed to coach correctly Cade Klubnik like they did DJU. But here's the thing. Whether they missed on the evaluation or they missed on their coaching him up to his full potential, either way, that is part of coaching. That is part of roster building. It is part of player development. And I think that is one of the reasons that a guy that's got multi-natties, a guy that has dominated the ACC for a decade, did not make the list as one of the most influential coaches moving forward. If you ask me right now who I think has a better year next year, the Clemson Tigers or the Wisconsin Badgers led by second-year man Luke Fickell, I will absolutely acknowledge that's not a layup for Clemson. Because, as we have pointed out, the Big Ten is going to be better next year with the addition of all the schools that are moving in. It's going to be a tougher conference to win.
You say it's going to be better. I was going to say like it was a bad conference. The conference technically won the national championship.
It was a bad conference. It was a super top-heavy conference with two good teams, one okay team, and a bunch of teams nobody cared about after that. It was a bad conference.
Hey, did you know that Wisconsin plays Alabama?
Good luck. Good luck, second-year coach Luke Fickell.
They start out Western Michigan, then South Dakota, then Alabama.
Good luck, Wisconsin.
Then USC.
Good luck, Wisconsin.
Then they got Purdue, Rutgers, and Northwestern, okay? So, I mean, right away, it's like, okay, I could see why they're projected to do pretty well. You know who I don't see on there?
I'm guessing Ohio State University.
I don't see Ohio State. You know who else I don't see?
Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a good luck of the draw this year.
They do have Penn State, but I don't see either of those teams on there. So
I believe in Penn State when James Franklin actually does something, as opposed to just dropping the big two games every year and beating up a bunch of nobodies. So here's what I'll go with. My knee-jerk reaction is it's a little shocking, a little surprising that on the list of 30, not 5, not 10, 30 most influential coaches moving forward in college football, Dabo Swinney's not on the list. Luke Fickell's on the list. Dabo Swinney's not on the list. Elijah Drinkwitz is on the list at Mizzou, but Dabo's not on the list. After what just happened with Lincoln Riley, Lincoln Riley's on the list, but Dabo's not on the list?
Yeah, you're not going to sell me on the ACC conspiracy that they're just staying away from ACC. I think it's more that Dabo and Clemson has lost multiple games for the last couple of seasons, and they also look at who the quarterback is.
I'd be fine with that. Luke Fickell's on the list. Lane Kiffin's on the list.
Lane Kiffin makes more sense than Luke Fickell, but, you know.
I don't disagree with that either, but what I'm saying here is I can come up with the reasons to keep him off the list. I can also make the argument, I guess, that influential means you have to have influence. Dabo was anti-portal. That's not going anywhere. Dabo's anti-NIL. That's not going anywhere, right? Like the things that are progressing forward that Dabo's been against, it hasn't really slowed down those things from happening. So maybe there's a part of this that it's not just that Clemson's lost multiple games the last couple of years, but it's also a fact that the things Dabo has spoken out against not growing in the game have grown in the game. I don't know. I just was a little taken aback by the fact that on this list is not Dabo Swinney. All right, we got a bunch of texters that have responded to this. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But when we come back here in just a minute, Liam McKinnon is a player for the Greenville Triumph. He has been balling out. The Triumph have been balling out. They have no losses to date on the season and hold sole possession of first place in the USL League One standings. We will talk to Liam McKinnon when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Your Greenville Triumph projected as the 8th best team in USL League One preseason are currently sitting on a 3-1-0 record. They have not lost a match so far. They have moved on to the next round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, and they currently hold the top spot in USL League One, top of the table in large part because of the efforts of our next guest. He is the number 9, wearing the number 9 shirt, playing up front and up top for your Greenville Triumph. He is Liam McKinnon, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. Liam, what's up, big fella? How we feeling, buddy?
Hey, how you doing? Feeling great.
I love it, man. I love it. First off, congratulations on a hot start to the season, both for you and the club, man. You guys got out to a rip-roaring start in the Rick Wright era. How's that feel?
It feels great, honestly. It's just really amazing to be part of that team and to be part of this, you know, really good start of the season. The vibes are really high in training and in games, and especially home games, I've seen a lot of fans come up, so it's been great so far.
Liam, I obviously worked very closely with John Harkes when he was the gaffer, when Rick Wright took over. We've had him on the show a number of times. And one of the things that I have loved about this club is what you just said, the vibes, right? Like, this team has had leadership that is constantly excited, even during the ups and downs of a season. The players seem to buy into that style of leadership. Talk to me a little bit about that, about how you guys, even maybe when, and not that it's been a problem so far this year in the early portion of the campaign, but in years gone by, when things have been maybe a little bit more fluid than you'd like, how do you guys in the dressing room make sure that everybody's on the same page, the vibes stay good, they stay positive, they stay high, so that you can fight through those moments?
I think at least this year, Rick has been great with us. He's been great at giving us responsibility on and off the field. And I think the leaders of the team, the guys that have been here for years, they know how to lead us, and they implement a great culture in the team and in the locker room. And you know, it's kind of never too high, never too low. We know our value. We know we're not where we want to be yet, but we know we've had a great start. And I think you can feel that in the locker room every day. The older guys really, really guide us, and guys like me that are second year or third year trying to show to the rookies, you know, what path to follow with these older guys. And I think it's a learning experience for everybody because it's a new staff. And I think we've been all very, very professional in that sense. But no, honestly, like you mentioned, the vibes are great, and everybody seems to be enjoying the day-to-day life of the Greenville Chime. So
something you just said there, Lyon, very interesting to me. You said we're not where we want to be yet. You guys are 3-1-0 out of the gate. You're in the third round of the U.S. Open Cup. You're at the top of the table in USL League One. If you're not where you want to be, where the hell do you want to be, big dog? Because it's a pretty good start, my man.
I agree. It's a great start, but you know as well as me that it's a 30-plus game season. And, you know, if you catch a hot streak or a cold streak, you never know what can happen. I think what really helps us is to really keep that same energy every day, to keep those results coming. And like I said, we're aware that we had a great start, but at the same time, if we look at, you know, league play, we've only had 4 games and we haven't played everyone yet. So I think everybody's aware of that and they're still working hard. The attitude is not that, you know, we've achieved anything yet. So you can also sense that in the way we work every day. And if we have a day where we're not as good in training, the leaders will make sure to make that known and to call us out to be sure that we do better the next day. And I think that's part of our success as well.
You are out to a phenomenal start personally this year, Lyon. 3 goals on the season through 4 games. You've got an assist thrown in there as well. You have 10 shots on goal recorded so far. Talk to me a little bit about what the offseason was like for you and how you got yourself ready for the start of this season, a start of the season which has been very good for you out of the gate.
Yeah, I think the offseason for me was very important in terms of getting ready for the season. I've done a lot of work fitness-wise to get ready for this season. I knew I was expected to play a bigger role than last year, and I think it comes with playing more games and be ready physically. And I've done a lot of work on that aspect to be able to play on the wing every game. And I think that helps me a lot to stay lucid in games and be able to be in the right spot to finish chances. And at the same time, in terms of goals, I have to say that it really comes from the chemistry of the whole team. If I'm there finishing, it could be anyone else. And I hope, like you saw, we have I don't know how many goal scorers, but we have a lot of guys getting on the score sheet this year. So I think that's part of our strength, that we have many guys that can finish chances. But I know it's part of my quality, so I try to help the team with that.
Lyon, I am really intrigued the offensive side of the pitch for you guys, at the versatility and how many different styles you guys are melding together to have such a potent attack. You've got Leo Castro up there, who's been a phenomenal shot creator. You as well. Ben Zukowski, young guy, getting added to the mix. Zion Scarlett, same situation. Of course, Sebastian coming up to play in a support role, a former MLS caliber player. When you guys have so many different vibes across that front line, how have y'all as players and how has Rick as gaffer made sure that with so many different styles of play, you guys are able to come together and form a successful and efficient offense across the front?
I think it comes down to preseason mostly. We've done a lot of work offensively, trying to understand each other. Obviously, you mentioned three new players in the front five. And in preseason, we've done tremendous work at, you know, attacking, making sure we score goals. And I think you can see it in games now that I understand what, you know, Seba wants or what a Zion wants or what a Ben wants. And they understand what my preferences are. So that helps a lot. I think the work we did in preseason was key. And I think it's hard when you have so many different styles in front of you for the opposing team to defend us. But I think, like I just said, the work we did for the 4 or 5 weeks of preseason was very intense, and you can see it now.
Lyon McKinnon plays forward for the Greenville Triumph. They have started this season 3-1-0. They are on to the next round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup and currently hold the top of the table at USL League One. We talked about the mix of styles of play. Talk to me about the mix of leadership, because there are guys on this team that have been here for a while. There are the Brandon Frickies. There are the Tyler Pollocks. And then there's a bunch of the new guys, Zukowski, Zion. You're kind of in the middle, second-year player. You were here for the end of the Harkes era, the beginning of the Rick Wright era. You guys really have maybe the most varied roster in terms of experience that the Triumph have had, at least since I've been covering them. How is everybody, both longtime vets, guys that have been here from the beginning, guys that they're putting on the crest for the first time this year, how do you guys make sure in the locker room and on the pitch that everybody is on the same page with such a variety of experiences between the roster?
I think that the leaders, like you mentioned, the Brandon Frickies, the Evan Lees, Tyler Pollocks, they make it easy for us to understand the culture of this club. So when you step in, even last year for me, it was my rookie year. It was very easy for me to understand what this club's about, the values that we have on and off the field, in training, the attitude that you have to have. And this year, they've just, you know, I feel like they've just even took it to another level in terms of guiding players. And you can tell that when guys that haven't played yet, like, you know, guys that come in, rookies, when they step on the field for the first time, you don't really feel like they're rookies, because you can sense that they understand what's expected from them. And I think that comes mostly from our leadership group on the team. And like I said, I feel like this year it's been our best asset as a team in training, especially because the standard has been very high, and it's something that's implemented by Coach Rick, but also by the leaders. And like you said, they've been here for a while, and they know it's a long season. And they also remind us that it's important to stay focused and, you know, don't listen too much the outside noise and focus on the next game.
We're talking with Lyon McKinnon, plays forward for the Greenville Triumph. Talk to me about Coach Wright. It was obviously Coach Wright spent all the time under John Harkes in the last regime. He gets promoted this offseason to be the man carrying the clipboard on the sideline. What would you say are maybe the biggest differences and the biggest similarities between the two head coaches that you've played under here in Greenville?
I mean, I would say there's two great human beings. I had a great relationship with John Harkes, and I had a great relationship with Coach Wright last year and this year as well. Me and Coach Wright get along very well. We had conversations about life, about not only about soccer. So it's really great to be around Coach Wright, and from a soccer standpoint, I think he gives us all the freedom we need to perform, and also keeps us at a very high standard in training and in games. And he's very understanding of you know, the needs of every player on the team, and that we're all different. And I think he does a great job of that. And Coach Harkes did very good last year. He was, when I was there and even before my time, he was very successful as well. And it's different styles, but I think the success of Greenville Triumph just remains, and it can look different. But at the end of the day, our goal is always to be the successful club that we have been in the past.
This team, since it formed 6 seasons ago, has gone such a long way in terms of going from a startup club to really being one of the premier teams in USL League One, now with back-to-back wins in the U.S. Open Cup, an opportunity to place Greenville even more on the map with success in this tournament. And obviously the competition is going to continue to get tougher in both the USL and the Open Cup. How much pressure, if any, do you guys feel in the locker room, not just to go out there and to play the best football you can play, but also carry that crest of Greenville Triumph and make sure that the legacy of this club continues to grow?
I mean, of course, we understand that it comes with a certain responsibility to wear that jersey. Every time we step out, we know that we're expected to be one of the top teams in USL1. And I actually think it helps us. I think when you step on the field and you know you're Greenville Triumph, you know that the other team also knows that you're the Greenville Triumph and expect you to come with everything on that day. And I think that it's good pressure. I don't think it's a pressure that makes you scared of losing the game. I think it's pressure that makes you want to win the game even more. And I think that's actually something that's been helping us throughout this year. And even if we have a different coach, we'll still be Greenville Triumph.
Got a couple more minutes with Liam McKinnon, plays forward for the Greenville Triumph. I would like to take you back to last year, Liam. I'd like to take you back to June of 2023 in a 5-1 victory over the Chattanooga Red Wolves. You set the record for the fastest hat trick in USL League One history. Also set the record for most goals in a match when you netted 4. How much do you remember that game, think about that game, and are we going to see another 4-goal effort out of number 9 this year?
I have great memories from that game. Obviously, it was a game where, you know, you kind of get everything you want out of a game. You get different types of goals. You score a nice first goal to get you started into the game. But yeah, it was an awesome night, probably one of the best nights of my whole life. And yeah, hopefully this year I can get another one. It'll be very nice. I don't know what the odds are for that to happen again, but I'm definitely working hard to make it happen again. But no, it's an amazing memory for me. And yeah, hopefully we can get more hat tricks this year.
Liam McKinnon plays forward for the Greenville Triumph. Last one before we let you go, Liam, and I'm going to tell you, this one's self-serving from me, mainly because Chris Lewis, the president of the club, walked up to me at Star Wars night at the win this past Saturday and said, make sure you give Liam a minute to shout out me and the rest of the Villanova Wildcats. How much love do you want to give for the Cats right now, fella?
Oh, yeah, man. Once a Wildcat, always a Wildcat. You know what we say. Yeah, obviously Villanova has been, you know, my first home in the U.S. So, yeah, I'd like to give a little shout out to Chris Lewis, the Wildcat. Also Coach Fetro, the new head coach who's just had his first spring game for Villanova, and all the boys up there still. So yeah, go Cats.
I love it. How big, by the way, as somebody who is obviously representing the community on the pitch, but also Greenville Triumph goes so much out of their way to be invested in not just the community, not just the upstate, but in helping to grow soccer in this area. Just in your short time here, what's it been like for you to help in that effort, and how much have you seen soccer grow around the upstate and around really the southeastern region just in your time playing here in South Carolina?
It's amazing to see. Being from Europe, where soccer is already established, it's really refreshing to see an area that really every year you can notice the difference. There's more kids playing. I was just at CISA watching some training, and I can see the passion. You know, even parents, they want to see their kids play soccer. And I think with the World Cup 2026 coming, it's going to be even bigger, you know. So no, I can really notice the difference when we do camps and you know, little training sessions for the kids of the area. So it's amazing to see.
Liam McKinnon plays forward for the Greenville Triumph. A phenomenal start to the season as they are on to the third round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. They hold a 3-1-0 record and the top spot on the USL League One table. Liam, so far, 3 goals in 4 appearances on the year, and I got no doubt we'll be seeing more of the Triumph on the road tomorrow, visiting Charlotte to take on the Charlotte Independence before heading back to the house the weekend after that. Liam, dude, great to have you on, man. I appreciate it. We'd love to do it again sometime, pal.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You got it. My pleasure. What a stud, man. What a baller. Liam McKinnon, forward for your Greenville Triumph, again on the road tomorrow at Charlotte. They'll be back next weekend. We will be back after this break on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Oh. After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo, thanks to Doug Irwin, Chris Lewis, and everybody over at the Greenville Triumph for setting us up that conversation with Lyon McKinnon. Phenomenal. What a dude, man. What a guy. Phenomenal dude. Phenomenal player. He has been spectacular so far this year, and I don't expect that the run of play of Greenville is going to slow down anytime soon. Unfortunately, we're going to miss Rashad Beard today as he is a bit under the weather. He will, fingers crossed, join us on tomorrow's show, but we're going to talk Panthers for just a moment anyway.
Struggle is real, Rashad.
It is. Lonzo's getting whooped up. I felt like crap to start the week. All right? We're bouncing back, though. Everybody, tapping the play like a champion today sign as we make our way out onto the field. All right. We've had some roster moves for the Carolina Panthers. We've had some free agents pickups. We've had some trades. Deontay Johnson coming over from Pittsburgh. You have had the signing of Robert Hunt at the right guard, Damian Lewis at the left guard. Going to move Austin Corbett over to the center position. Hopefully he's able to stay healthy. So I'll throw this question at you guys. With the moves that got made over the offseason, with the moves that got made, has your thoughts on the Panther draft strategy been modified at all? Have your thoughts changed at all? There were a lot of y'all who were suggesting packaging the two early second round draft picks together in order to move up into the first round and go get a wide receiver. Are those thoughts different now that Deontay Johnson is on the team? There were a number of you that were suggesting going offensive line with both of the second round picks, just letting Thielen play as wide receiver two on this team. Has that changed now that Deontay Johnson got added to the mix? So after the signing of the two guards and Deontay Johnson, the release of Brian Burns, the extension of Derrick Brown, has your thoughts on the draft and the draft strategy of Carolina changed at all?
Well, before we were going back and forth about whether they should go lineman or receiver, but they've seemed to have shored up the line pretty good with experienced guys who have enough time now to gel together and give Bryce Young some time. You got to go receiver. I think you absolutely do. And I mean, they got Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, so they addressed some of the things on defense that needed to be addressed, but receiver is still the biggest need.
I agree. To the point that I depending on how the chips fall, and obviously I told this to Costos yesterday because he was like, "Ah, lock in your picks." I'm like, "Yeah, dude, we got 2 weeks out still. There's still a lot of moves." There's still trade picks that are likely going to be traded before we even get to draft day. Forget during the first round itself and the second round itself. I am coming around because I agree. Wide receiver is my primary move to this point. I still think there are some spots on defense, defensive back specifically, I'd like to shore up. I think I'm moving over into the thought, depending on where you are at the best pick offer you can get. I think I'm walking myself into the belief that trading the 2 second rounders to move into the first round for a wide receiver might not be the worst idea. Because I've said, I think that there are a few good wide receivers that are going to be available at 33 when the Panthers come on the clock. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be gone. Obviously, Malik Nabers is going to be gone. I think both of those guys are gone in the top 7 picks of this draft. I think Arizona's going wide receiver. I would not be shocked to see somebody move up and get Malik Nabers. After that, it's a question mark. Now, I will also tell you, I told you earlier, Brian Baldinger was on the show with me and Nick Costos on the BetQL Network yesterday, and I got the chance to interview him. And he said, aside from the J.J. McCarthy noise, which I respect the hell out of Baldy and think he knows ball, but I can't get on board with the thought that J.J. McCarthy's going ahead of Drake May. There was something else he threw out there, which is he said he thinks there is a better than average chance that Rome Odunze might end up getting drafted ahead of Malik Nabers. That there's a lot of folks out there that believe that Rome Odunze, if he wasn't in a class with Marvin Harrison Jr., would be the top guy. He said he thinks he might go ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. He said there's enough smoke in the air that NFL teams are very high on Rome Odunze that they might shoot him up the board. I'm worried about that if they do. I think if that happens, there might be a wide receiver run. My question mark is, where does that leave everybody that would be mid to late mid-round picks that Carolina might package the 2-2s up to a 1 to go get? Number one, what's the best offer they are going to get for that? 14, 15, 16, 20, 21, 22? James popped up in the stream chat and said, expecting to see that Panther logo show up around pick 24. I honestly think that's a pretty good spot. My question is there anybody off or on the board at 24 that you don't think will be on or off the board at 33? Kansas City's a team I could see drafting a wide receiver, especially with the Rashee Rice story update from yesterday. Dallas police have put out an arrest warrant for Rashee Rice. He has until the end of today to turn himself in.
Knew that was coming, and it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was almost obvious when it came out from his own attorney earlier this week.
I'm just trying to figure out how in the world the Panthers can package something to move up to 24. Are those two early second rounds worth move? I mean, it just seems like it's not enough to move up to 24.
I mean, listen, if you're a team that's got 4 or 5 needs,
I'm saying maybe they have to throw something else in there.
Listen, I this is where I fall into, and again, there is one spot that I get myself in trouble on radio. Because on radio, we're supposed to go, you pick a wide receiver or everybody's got to get fired. Rabble, 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 rabble.
You got the arbiter in there somewhere, but yeah.
Yeah, you get it. You got to have a take. You pick a wide receiver or Dan Morgan should be fired. It's like, nah, a lot of it's going to depend on what happens on draft day. If I'm a team that's sitting at 24, 25, which means you're close. You're close, but you're not right there. Buffalo, for instance.
Yeah, I know how this sounds, but the Panthers just need to get better. I mean, don't expect them to do a whole lot this year. They just need to get better.
I don't disagree. The draft is how you do it.
Yeah, they need to find some players that will contribute and be there for a while.
The reason that we talk about this is because this is one of two opportunities to get better. You have the free agency trade period, and you have the draft. This is where you get better or you don't. So getting the draft right is, especially this year, monumentally important. So if I can trade 33-39, jump up to 24 because Buffalo's got a lot more needs than they're going to address just at their one spot, and they're willing to move, that's a move I'm willing to make. We'll talk more about this on the other side because I got a couple of names that I'm interested in targeting and a couple of names that I think if you stay put, come off the board, and a couple of names that I think if you stay put, stay on it. And I'll tell you who they are when we come back. We've also got Fight Club, what the X is going on, and then we call it a Thursday. We all go home and, fingers crossed, watch a little golf. But before we do any of that, Sports Flash.
Just a warning, I am regressing, but we're going to give it the old college try. The Charlotte Hornets will end the year with at least 20 wins after a 115-114 victory over the Atlanta Hawks yesterday. Rookie Brandon Miller finished with 27 points, Miles Bridges with 18, and Grant Williams and Trey Mann added 16, while the Hornets went 21-22 from the free throw line. A large band of weather across Georgia and South Carolina impacted the Atlanta Braves as last night's game against NL East rival New York Mets was postponed due to heavy rain. The game is scheduled to be made up on September 26th. The Braves are scheduled for a day game today against the Mets at 12:20. Maybe that rain will be out of there by then. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and a lot of fun. Wire to Wire.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.